Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Laura's one of our elders and a beautiful woman of prayer and intercession. And your 87-year-old father, come here in the light. This is just unbelievable. He had cancer. And it was inoperable. The doctor said, we're not going to operate because it's too dangerous to operate on an 87-year-old man.
And then one night, my father, I pick him up every day for radiation. He said, I had the worst night. I felt like a knife was cutting me. And it just kept going on and on for several hours. And I was concerned. And the next day, I picked him up for radiation. And he said, well, last night, I felt like my insides were just being all torn apart, and I had several hours of intense pain again. I said, well, Dad, what's going on? He says, you know what, Laura? The doctor said I can't survive surgery. The doctor said the cancer can't be cured without surgery, and the Lord did the surgery that the doctors denied me. And the first night was the incision, and the second night the Lord was removing the cancer. And I believe I am cancer-free. I can't prove it yet, but I believe I'm cancer-free. So we waited 10 weeks. He had the PET scan on the 25th. We got the results on the 28th. He is cancer-free. Praise God. Yes. Praise God. Yes. 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 To God be the glory. To God be the glory. So thankful.
So he interprets this that God did the surgery. Now, when he first said, I think God did the surgery, were you like, okay, Dad, what's going on? Or were you believing in that?
You know what? I believed because he believed. Okay. It's like he said, Laura, I'm cancer-free. And he kept saying that the day we celebrated the last day of radiation. He said to all of us, I am cancer-free. I'm cancer-free. Like, just praise God. I mean, he had more faith than me, but praise God.
That testimony encouraged me. Give her a hand, Laura Weber. Give the Lord a hand, I should say. Awesome. Let's believe for miracles. Pray for the sick. Believe and receive. Amen.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Well, speaking of changed lives, the man that I'm about to introduce to you is a powerhouse of faith and prophetic anointing. I met him a couple of years ago at a conference where I saw him speak, and we really didn't have a chance to build a strong relationship. But the Holy Spirit really spoke to me that he had something for us, and in particular for our church and our men. And so I invited him. He agreed to come. He's from a great church, the Life Changers Church in Portland, Oregon. His name is Dr. Mark Strong. And I want you to get a piece of paper and a Bible, and I want you to put your hands together and welcome a man of God, Dr. Mark Strong, as he comes. Bless you, brother. Thanks for coming.
Hey, amen. It's good to be with you here in San Jose, and just enjoy the weather. Actually, here in Portland, we've been having pretty good summer. You know, usually it's pretty wet up there. You know, they don't call us the Oregon Ducks or the Oregon State Beavers for nothing. You know, we got to have the water going on. So, but it's just good to be here and to get a chance to meet Pastor David and spend some more time with him and just appreciate his heart. And we were talking yesterday; it was just amazing how our lives have been kind of on the same kind of course. Both passed the church we've been saved in and been there for numbers of years, and just amazing. So I just appreciate his heart and his love for you and for the city, and just what a great thing and a great place God has created Gateway City Church to be. So just glad to be here. I want to give you a little warning before I start to preach, tell you a little story here. Oh, let me tell you about my family. So my wife, Marla, we've been married for 26 years. She's a short powerhouse. She's about 4'11", but I have to say 5 unless I get, if I don't say she's 5 feet, I get beat down. Don't tell her I said that. And then we have 4 kids. We have a 24-year-old son named Micah. We have a 20-year-old daughter named Michelle. And then we have a 16-year-old named Mackenzie, 13-year-old named Miles. So In the course of a day or a week or some, I go from college age stuff to video games and Power Rangers, you know. But God has been good to us. So let me give you a little warning here before we jump into the Word. My wife set me up to speak at my son's class when he was in kindergarten, you know. So she told me, she said, honey, today you're going to go and you're going to speak at your son's class. I said, yes, boss. And so I got in the car, drove to school, pulled up inside the classroom, and the teachers, there were two ladies they team taught, and they were smiling, laughing. I'm thinking, that is just really weird. Why would you treat a guest like that? You know, you come into the room instead of, well, hey, how you doing? You're in the corner, you're snickering, you're laughing. I'm like, do I have something come out of my ear or what's going on? You know, what's taking place here? And so finally they came over to me and they said, we know exactly what you do. And I said, you do? And they said, yeah, your son told us. And I'm thinking, okay, what in the world did he say? And so I kind of swallowed a little bit and I said, well, what did he tell you? He said, what you do is every Sunday morning, you get a bunch of people in a room, and then you close the door and you lock it. And then he said, you just scream your head off at everybody in the room. So just fair warning. If I start to scream today, nothing personal, you know, nothing personal. Praise the Lord. Just want to let you make you aware of a couple resources I brought today. Couple things here. One is a book called Scarcity or Sufficiency. This is kind of a life word for me. Usually every place I go, I usually preach this message. But it's just how God can take, you know, God gives us visions and he gives us a burn for something. But sometimes we lack the resources to make it happen. And what Jesus did was took 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, fed up to 20,000 people. And so God still does the same thing today. He takes our fragments and then he turns them into a feast. And so this book will speak to your life in that area. And then also I have with me, it's called Men's Series, Excuse the Ugly Mug on the front cover. This was not my idea. But what this is a 9-week study that deals with men, the issues that men face. And so 1 week is on identity. Another week is infirmity, weaknesses that men experience, morality, industry, inferiority, increase, how God wants to bless our lives, intercession and prayer. And so each week, each of the 9 weeks, there's lessons for every single day that you can work through. So actually it'll be like 56 lessons there in this book that you can work through. We took off our guys and our church through it for 9 weeks. And then with it, there's like a little USB stick that has like 9 messages that address each one of those topics. So this is good for guys. And then what I did at our church, the ladies were even more excited about it because they took it to their husbands and they don't come to church and some got them to listen to it and nephews and sons and so forth. So this is just a good investment for any man to be able to build and strengthen his life. Then the last book, and this we'll be talking about tonight, gentlemen, is Church for the Fatherless. Our nation has an epidemic that's going on called fatherlessness. And it's not talked about a lot, but people experience it. They feel it. It's real. We do a conference called Father Shift where we're gearing up to kind of launch it across the nation. We've done it in a couple cities. And it's amazing that when we start addressing this issue, male, female, from 80 years old down to 16, people weep and sob because of the wound that's there. So if you have a heart for people and you counsel or you minister to individuals, you're going to come across this need. So this will just be a good way for you to educate yourself and then also to equip you to make a difference. Or if you suffer from that father wound, that'll be a help for you as well, too. All right, let's go ahead and stand. Open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. I want to start from verse 1. And before I do, I just feel kind of stirred real quick here. We're going to do this. So you guys are pastors in Santa Rosa, is that correct? You are? Okay, I'm sitting right there. This is on me, so I want to get it off. But I felt the Spirit of God is saying that God is going to retool you. And so what's going to happen is I just kind of saw like a utility belt, a tool belt. And so God has taken one off and he's putting another one on you. And you're going to have some tools that God is going to give you in the days ahead that are going to, you're going to like, wow, this has this kind of power. Wow, this can do that. And not only will you have, not only is God going to give you the tools, but God's going to give you the wisdom, because you're going to cut through, you're going to break through the darkness. For God's not just, God hasn't just sent you there just to occupy time and just to do something that's just kind of fun. No, you are going to storm the gates of hell, and you're going to rescue people from darkness. And the Lord says you are equipped. And it's almost like Gideon. You know, when God came to Gideon, he says to him, "Hail thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon's like, you're talking to the wrong person here. God said, "No, that's how I see you. And you are a mighty woman of valor. And God is going to bring great deliverance through your hands." He says, don't limit him. Don't limit him in terms of looking at yourself and your limitations. But you keep your eyes upon him and you're going to discover the sky is the limit. For you have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. And the anointing and the hand of God is upon you. And you're leaving out of here today with a brand new tool belt to do damage on the kingdom of darkness. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let me just pray for you real fast here. I know. Yeah. What was your name?
Greta.
Father, just thank you for Greta today. And we lay hands on her today. And we just say, Lord, we impart to her that which you would desire to release her in life in a new way. And I just thank you for what you're going to do. Even on her physical body, there's been just a pressure on your physical body, a weight on your physical body. And the Lord says, I'm going to lift that off for you. There's going to come I just see a weariness dissipating from your physical body. And there's going to be energy coming to you. And I just see you just saying almost like, Lord, this is just, I feel like I'm 16 years old again. Because God is going to breathe in you. You're going to have, here's the word, as your days are, so shall your strength be. And God has orchestrated that for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Okay, Joshua chapter 6, we're going to start from verse 1, read through verse 6. Bible says, now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and his fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have the seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear the sound of a long blast on the trumpet, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry the trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. We pray that you would speak clearly and just simply to our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe seated. I want to focus on just in this passage, just on, there's a lot here that we could talk about and unpack, but I want to just focus on verse 7, where it talks about just advance. Let me tell you a little bit about, kind of give you a little bit of my testimony. I grew up going to church. My mom would, my dad wasn't really a church grower, but my mom took us to church every Sunday. And I used to pretty much hate going. And I remember I would try different kind of strategic tactics to get out of going to church. You know, so when you're like, you know, kid, 7 or 8, 9 years old, you know, you don't really have much negotiating power with your mom. It's kind of like, you know, mom says it and you do it, you know, and then we kind of, you know, back in those days, you know, it was like spare the rod, you know, and my mother, she spared no rod. And so she had a little switch, you know, a little, we call Mr. Do Right, because if you did wrong, that switch would make you do right. And so, you know, I didn't want to have a conference with Mr. Do Right. So I'm like, okay, I can't just say, hey, look, woman, I don't want to go to church. I was like, ooh. So what I would try different tactics. So sometimes I would, like, you know, hide my shoe, right? So I'm like, she's not going to take a kid to church with one shoe. She'd be too embarrassed to do that. So I would, like, hide the shoe way underneath the bed. Not just in the corner, way underneath it, you know. And she would say, let's go. Okay, well, I'm coming, Mom. I can't find my shoe. I can't find my shoe. Look under the bed. I can't see that far underneath there. So she's like, it's time to go. Mom, I only got one shoe. How many feet do you have? Two. Get to walking. So she would drag us to school. There were five of us. So I have two brothers, two sisters, five of us. So she'd pile all of us in that white station wagon, and we would drive to church. So we got a little bit older. We moved to Portland, Oregon from Bellevue, Washington. And by that time, we were like in high school, and my dad was, you know, we'd complain and bellyache about going to church. My mom and my dad was like, you know, B, that's my mom's name. They don't make them go to church. They don't want to go to church. They don't have to go. And man, we were glad to hear that. We were like, that he's an angel sent from God. So we kind of stayed home and that kind of thing, you know. And I was like, man, I want to just have, you know, there's nothing wrong with church, but man, if the church we used to go to was, if a person, they could have had a healing service at that church every week for people that had insomnia. If you had insomnia, you could come and you could be healed from 11 o'clock to 12 every single week. If you didn't sleep before you got there, you would sleep by the time you left. And I'm like, you know, who wants to go to church to go to sleep, be put to sleep? You know, I'm like, man, I want to go party. I want to have a good time and that kind of thing. So for you know, 4 or 5 years, well, I didn't go to church, except maybe three times a year, you know, Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. And so my grandmother, she's 97 now, she's still living. She had put pressure on me and my brothers, my two brothers, to go to church. She'd say, oh, Marky, why don't you guys come and go to church? Come and go. And you just get so tired of hearing that. Grandma, okay, we're coming. We're coming. And it was the everlasting coming. We're coming. That's what you guys said last week. You not tell the truth. I said, okay, Grandma, we'll be there. So this is like fast forward. I'm about 19 years old now. And so I go to church. It's a Christmas Sunday. I figure, okay, if I go to church this Sunday, I can buy at least 6 months, no, about 4 months of peace and quiet, because I could say, look, Grandma, I went to church with you in December. Leave me alone until March. But I love you. So anyway, we went to church that Sunday. We'd been out partying until like 4 o'clock in the morning. I wore to church, my two brothers, we wore to church the same clothes we had been out all night long in the night before. I mean, we were just tired and wore out, eyes were all red and that kind of thing. And then we're sitting in these hard pews, these hardwood pews, and they're singing these songs, and there's somebody chomping on the piano. I'm like, oh, please. If there's a God, make them stop. Make them stop. So service lasted from 11 o'clock to 12. That was the slowest hour of my life. The second hand moved like the hour hand, and the minute hand was armless. It didn't even move. And so I'm looking at my watch. I'm thinking a half an hour's passed. Look at my watch, 11:02. 11:03. I'm like, oh gosh. Finally, we get a breakthrough. We make it to 11:45, right? Then all of a sudden, 5 more minutes goes. I'm like, hope just sprang in my heart. I'm out of here. 10 minutes, I'm out of here. In walks my aunt. Now, she's been over in Europe. She's an opera singer. She sang over in Europe. And she comes through the church, through the doors of the church, and my heart just sinks. I'm like, oh, gosh, because I know the routine. She's going to come in. The pastor's going to see her. Everybody's going to say how much they missed her. The people are going to start crying. She's going to start crying. Then the inevitable is going to happen. They're going to say, come sing. Now, what they were doing earlier was bad enough. Now you're going to throw a couple
a couple cups of opera into the bowl? Terrible. And the worst thing was, that was going to drag that service on about another 20 minutes. And I'm like, oh. So sure enough, she comes in. Pastor, oh, Gail, it's good to see you. Everybody turns around. Oh, it's Gail. And they're crying. Oh, Gail, we missed you. We missed you. It's like, oh, I missed you too. I missed you too. And then here it comes. Oh, come sing. I'm thinking, we grew up hearing that stuff. You know, and I'm thinking, oh, no, here we go. And God, I'm like, man, give me some bass guitar and some horns and some electric guitar and a good drum beat, but operatic gospel? Are you serious? So she starts through her tears. She starts singing, and she's singing this song. And the longer she sang, the more it would kill me. You remember that song, Killing Me Softly, with this song? I prayed that she would finish, but she kept right on. She was killing me. And my brothers, we were just kind of slumped over like, oh. So probably by the time she got to the second verse, just the weirdest thing happened to me. It was the weirdest thing. There's no way I can explain it. I didn't feel anything leading up to that. I had no sense of anything. But I'm an introvert. By nature, I'm not a real talkative guy. All of a sudden, I find myself standing up while everybody else is sitting down, and I'm sobbing and I'm saying, God, if you want me, you can have me. God, if you want me, you can have me. My two brothers, who I'd just been out with the night before, they're looking at me like, Mark is tripping. He's lost his mind. And you know, back in those days, you know, they didn't laugh in church a whole lot. And so I'm watching. I'm up here, God, if you want me, you can have me. And by this time, I mean, they are so low on that bench. They're biting their arms to try to keep from laughing and everything. But in that moment, my life was radically changed. My life was radically transformed. See, prior to that, I thought that living for Jesus would just be such a bore. I remember, this is the truth. Sometimes those people, they say, I don't believe that. This is the truth. I remember laying in my bed sometime at night before God captured my heart. And I would say, okay, when I get to be 99 years old and a half, I'm going to say, Lord Jesus, come to my heart and save me, forgive my sins, thou take me to heaven. My rationale was, I'm having too much fun right now to kill it with this religious stuff. That was my mindset. I had no idea that when you serve Jesus Christ, you sign up for the ride of your life. It may be rough sometimes, it may be difficult sometimes, but you embark up on a journey that is absolutely incredible. Why? Because you are following the God of the universe. You are following God Almighty. You don't know where you're going to end up at. Even being here is kind of hilarious for me. Because before I gave my life to Christ, I had a stuttering problem, like but. And my eyes would blink real fast. I almost got in a couple fights because some guys thought I was winking at them. They're like, man, don't wink at me. I'm like, man, what do you mean winking? I'm not winking at you. What are you talking about? And I was like, eh. And I remember people say, how in the world do you think you're going to be a preacher one day and you can't even say two words? But God said, I'll take care of that. I had no idea. I had no idea that he would put me on that kind of journey. I had no idea that one day I could graduate from college. I mean, I flunked out of high school so bad. I graduated like with a 1.1000 grade point average. Honestly, I don't think I even read a full book in high school. When I tried to go to college, I wasted my money because I couldn't even write a paragraph. But Christ just came in my life and he changed. It was a wonderful journey, an incredible journey. And if you've given your heart to Christ, if you've given your life to Jesus, you are on an incredible journey. But the problem is sometimes, after you've walked a few years or a few decades or a few centuries, we become kind of, we can become stale and we can become complacent. And we feel like, okay, I've tasted it all, I've seen it all. No, you haven't. Tell your neighbor, you haven't seen it all, you haven't tasted it all. Now, I'm a little kind of a child of the 70s. I used to have a group called Bachman Turner Overdrive on BTO. And they used to have a little song that would go like this. They had this guy, he would stutter. He'd say, "You ain't seen nothing yet, baby. You ain't seen nothing yet." And from God's perspective, you ain't seen nothing yet. Come on. Can I say it this morning? I believe the best is yet to come still. That's why the Bible says, "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know." You have no idea what God can do through your life. Now unto him who is able to do. I love it when the Bible, when the writers of the Bible just, they don't have the vernacular to explain it. So they'll say stuff like this. Peter says, "Joy unspeakable and full of glory." Why does he say joy unspeakable? Because he says, there's no words in the language to explain the joy. Right. Or they'll right now say, "The peace that passes all understanding." Well, what is it? It passes all understanding. What does that mean? Because I can't explain it to you. Because it goes more than that. Wow. "Now unto him who is able," tell your neighbor he's able, "to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think." Yes. "Above all you can ask or think. According to his power that's at work within you." God has great things that he wants to do. We understand that. Problem though. What's the problem? I'm so glad you asked. The problem is that sometimes there are obstructions, walls, barriers that keep us out of the place that God wants to take us into. For centuries, God told the Israelites through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joseph. These stories are rehearsed in their ears over and over. "Everywhere you put the sole of your feet, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey." They heard this for years. And so finally, in Joshua's time, they crossed the threshold and they're about to experience the promise. The city they go to, the first city, is called Jericho. But there's a problem. The problem is Jericho has a wall around the city. Now, it's not just like a little wall that's like in your house or my house and maybe, you know, maybe 6 inches thick or something like that, give or take a few. But this wall was about 25 feet wide, 25 feet thick. Some of the ancient texts that describe different walls in different cities, they said some of those walls could go up to 50 feet in height. So it was a massive wall, you know, made with clay and bricks and then the foundation out of stone. So they couldn't use a lot of different subterfuge to be able to penetrate the wall. And so here it is. This wall stands between them and the promise. How are you going to get past this wall? How are you going to advance? How are you going to make it into the thing that your heart so desperately desires? How are you going to enter into the promise that God has made to your heart and your life? The desire that fills you, the desire that breathes and lives on the inside, that you know not just your own desire, but the desire that you know is God-given and God-breathed. How are you going to lay a hold of that desire? How can you do it with this wall that's standing in front of you that says, "You're not going to get past me"? We all have those walls. Sometimes it's difficulty in a marriage. Sometimes it may be a physical situation in your body. Sometimes it's financial. It can be relational. It may be something on the job that you're going through. All of us have our walls and barriers that want to keep us out of what God wants to take us into. And the thing about the wall is, a wall is not, even though there's no physical mouth on that wall, walls speak. They talk. They give messages. They text. You are not gonna get through me. No LOL. And the temptation is, sometimes we say, we hear what the wall speaks, what the barrier says, and we say, oh, no way, I'm going to overcome you. God's going to take you out, but the wall's still there. And you back up, you hit it, you back up, you hit it, you back up, you hit it, you hit it, you back up. And what happens is sometimes we just give up. And we just learn to live with the barrier. Sometimes business can be the same way. You just learn to live with the barrier. But I don't believe God wants you to live with the barrier today. I believe God wants you to break through the barrier today. I believe God wants you to break through the wall today. So when you look at this, this looks almost like a military adventure. But in reality, it's not, because they're not going out with spears, swords, knives, or bow and arrows. They're going out with priests carrying ram's horns, with the Ark of the Covenant. Yes, there's fighting men there, but none have been instructed to use any weapons. So the word that helps us, or the wisdom we glean from this passage in terms of how we advance, is this word right here: synchronize. Synchronize. And so what Joshua was saying was, listen, people, God is going to tear this wall down, but we have to get synchronized and be in sync with Him. Sync with Him in how? In terms of timing. The word synchronize, that's this S-Y-N with the chronos part, time, synced in time, working together, being in agreement, God's timing, moving in step with God. Now, how did Joshua sink them? First of all, he sunk them together with their mouths. He said, don't say a word. You know how hard it is sometimes not to talk? It's hard not to talk sometimes. I remember when I was going to school, we did a silent retreat. After 2 hours, I was like, this is idiotic. And we're sitting at the table, we're passing stuff like this. And I mean, it was crazy. I'm like, I just want to say something. Can I say something? 6 days, they go around, don't say anything. Let what you say eventually sync up to what God is saying. You know, you're allowing your mouth to get the download from heaven, because you are going to say something. But when you say something, it's going to be the right thing that you say. It's going to be in sync with what God is saying. And how many of you know that if you're saying what God is saying, woo, watch out. That's powerful. Their mouth, also their feet. You know, it's probably different here in the Bay Area, but in Portland, sometimes it's hard to get churches to everybody's feet to go in the same direction. Some people want to walk this way, some want to walk this way, some want to walk this way, and you got kind of like this. But their feet were synchronized. They all walked the same way. They all walked the same path. They all walked the same direction. You know, sometimes in our marriages, you know, sometimes it's difficult. Like, you know, my wife, I'm like, okay, honey, what about this? No, I think it's this. And then God has to put both of us in the wash machine and, okay, it's not your way, honey. It's not your way, honey. It's His way. And then we can start. And then He synchronizes the focus. So what was the focus? The focus was on the presence of God. They had the ark. The centerpiece of their procession was the Ark of the Covenant. That was the focal point. And that symbolizes God's presence. God was there in their midst. Their mouths are synchronized. Their feet are synchronized. Their focus is synchronized. And they are expecting God to do something in the right time. And when you read through the scripture, that principle bears itself out throughout the Word of God. Even the book of Acts, Jesus says, the disciples says, okay, let's go do this. Jesus said, no, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. Wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost fully came, when the day of Pentecost fully came, the Spirit of God descended upon them. And we know the story. Peter spoke the word of God with boldness. 5,000 people were added to the church. So it's the being in sync with God. It lines us up with his timing and his purpose for what it is that he wants to do. See, we don't want to lag behind. We don't want to get ahead. We want to be in sync with what it is that God desires to do. And when you're in sync with God, those walls that are in your life, those walls that are in my life, those walls that are in our community, our churches, God can bring them down. And just like God brought down the wall of Jericho, it was a big, bad wall. God still brings walls down today. And God wants to bring down walls in your life today. It's for the young man who's struggling to try to live a pure life. But his sexual appetites just continue to get the best of him, and he can't get over it. And the war that's there, and the guilt that's there, and the condemnation that's there, that's a wall that God will tear down and help you advance and find purity in the area of your sexuality. It's for the person that constantly beats themselves up and they loathe themselves with self-hatred. They feel like, I'm not any good. Nobody loves me. I'm unworthy. And they can't even lift their eyes to God because they hate themselves so bad. But you break that wall, you discover that you are loved by God in a tremendous and a wonderful way. And there is so much value in who you are. That you have worth and you have value. You're more valuable than any kind of thing. I remember my mom used to work at a grade school. I got to hurry up and quit here. My mom used to work at a grade school. And she had a little picture in a cubicle with this little guy with alfalfa-like hair, a little baby with a diaper. And the scripture says, God don't make no junk. But you have been wonderfully and fabulously made by God. And your wall might just be breaking through to understand that when you get up in the morning, you live in your life, you look in the mirror and you say, you know what? I may not be all of that, but I am this. And I am tremendously loved by God. What about walls on your job and walls in your neighborhood, walls in areas of ministry? Walls in the church that God wants to break down to advance you, those walls will come down in the name of Jesus. Let me prophesy to you today. You will advance. By God's grace, you can get through. By God's grace, you can step into what it is that God has placed in your heart. Oh, Pastor Marcus took a long time. That's all right. God's not in a hurry. God's not in a big rush. 1,000 years to him is like one day, and one day is like 1,000 years. Where is he going to go? He always is. And so as you trust him, God will break through those barriers for you. Let me close this scripture right here. One of my favorite passages is in Zechariah chapter 4. And you know how sometimes, like I said, the wall can talk to you and say, you know, you're not going to get past me. I'm going to hold you down. I'm going to keep you right where you are. You're not going to advance. If anything, you're going to back up and I'll gain more strength, more space. But look what the Word of God says. Here's the Spirit of the Lord speaking to the mouth and to the wall. Now, I grew up in the suburbs and I grew up some in the hood. So I've been in both sides of the world. But if you're in the hood, this is how that scripture would go. This is the hood version. How would you say it? THV, the hood version. So here's the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. And so the Spirit of God speaks to the mountain. Say, dude, just who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You ain't bad. You don't scare nobody, sucker. How are you going to tell Zerubbabel to back up and sit down? Who do you think you are? And so God's prophet of the mountain, who do you think you are, almighty mountain? Listen, I'm ready to clean your clock. You got one or two options. Either get to stepping or else I'm going to help you step. Now, if you want to just move on out the way on your own accord, be my guest. But if you don't, man, I got something for you. I got something for you, homie. He says, you will become level ground. There's no ambiguity in that passage. Not perhaps, perchance, might, maybe. No, you will become level ground. Why level ground? Because he is going to walk on it. You're going to become a pathway without a priest on it. That mountain, that wall will become a pathway for God's people to do what they need to do. You will become level ground. That's the word of the Lord for your wall. It will become level ground. That's the word of God for your mountain. It will become level ground. How? And I close with this. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. In other words, mountain, hear this. You're not going to have to fight Zerubbabel or one of his boys. God's spirit himself, God himself is going to be the one that's going to take you out. The law in the hood is this. If you're going to mess with somebody, you got to know who the family is. I remember growing up, there was this little kid. He wish you could just put a sock in his mouth. But you wouldn't dare touch him. You know why? Because he had, there's 12 of them in the family. And the older they got, the bigger they got. And so if you touched that kid, you'd have 12, 11 others to go through. And then you didn't want big Harry coming out, because that'd been a bad day. And so that kid could say, basically he wanted to say, not because of who he was, because you could squash him, but because you have to deal with Harry. And so Spirit says to the mountain, you don't have to deal with Zerubbabel. God's going to take you out by his spirit. And you know what? Even history, in that passage, history bears it out. God did level the ground. That temple was built. And for your lives, for the walls that you face, the word of God for you today is advance. Advance. In your marriage, advance. In your business, advance. In your emotions, advance. With your family, advance. The wall will come down in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Strong. Wow. You have blessed our church. Let's bow our heads right now. I believe the Lord is calling every person in this room to make a decision. For some of you, your decision is to turn your life over completely to Jesus Christ. You've never done that before. It's your turn to say, Lord, if you want me, you can have me. Would you just turn your heart over to him right now? Just say, Lord, if you want me, you can have me. Others of you need to make a decision because you're facing a mountain. It just seems like it won't move. And the enemy just wants you to back up and give up and turn around and go back where you came from. But the Lord is calling you to be strong in faith, to pay attention to his timing, to stand on his promise, and commit to going forward. Maybe it's ministry. Maybe it's a step to buy a home or to take a job or to go back to school. Whatever feels like a mountain to you, just surrender to the Lord and say, God, I can't level it, but you can. And I believe as you do that, God's going to release grace to you. He's going to release a power that you've never experienced before because you're making a decision in faith. Father, I pray for your people right now in all their decisions and whatever, Lord, you are speaking to each person. Lord, I know that the Holy Spirit is so strong in this room. I'm asking you just speak heart by heart, life by life, and let each person understand and know how they can respond to this message. Lord, bless all of us together to advance as a church and individually, Lord, in our own personal lives, to be strong and courageous, Lord, as Joshua. And I thank you for this, Lord. We believe this is going to be done. We believe this is reality, and it's what you've spoken to us, and we praise you for it in Christ's name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Let's tell Dr. Strong how much we appreciated that message. Wow. What a word.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.